story of God loving us so much that he sent his son, amen? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son to restore that relationship with his children. And this is the very beginning. We're celebrating that. Oh, what amazing Father we have in God. He loves us so much, amen? So that's where we're at this morning. We're going to praise him and thank him for loving us so much. He always has. He always will. Lord, we thank you for that. Be in our praises, Lord God. Inhabit our praises. In Jesus' name, amen.
What a Father, what a friend, what a Savior he is. What a Father, what a friend, what a Savior he is.
Sing it again. Oh, what a Father.
What a Father, what a friend, what a Savior he is.
No more crying.
For God so loved us that he sent his only son. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward as we continue to worship this morning. Worship our God who's given us so much, given us a beautiful day, given us songs to sing, given us breath to sing those songs. I want to read just a portion of what the Apostle Paul wrote about our God. In Philippians 2, he wrote this of Jesus: though he was God, he was God. He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. And therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Father God, we love you. We do declare together today that Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Savior, and the kingdom has come. Lord, we bless you. We continue to worship you today by giving back a part of what you've given us to your glory and for your kingdom. Amen.
I speak the name of Jesus over you. In your hurting, in your sorrow, I will ask my God to move. And I speak the name, 'cause it's all that I can do. In desperation, I seek heaven and pray this for you. I pray for your healing, that circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And I speak the name of all authority, declaring blessing every promise he is faithful to keep. this morning. In Jesus' name. It's all about you, Jesus. In Jesus' name.
Lord God.
In Jesus' name.
Father, we continue to pray. We continue to worship, Lord. We lift up that name that is above all other names. The name that brings power, the name that brings peace, God. The name that is our rescue and the one we worship. We thank you today, God, for the gift of your Son. We thank you for making us your people through his life, through his death, through his resurrection, through his Spirit. We lift you up and worship you. In Jesus' name today, God. And the church said, amen. 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 You can clap for the Lord. Always clap for the Lord. Absolutely. Lord, thank you. Praise the Lord. All right. It's good to see everybody today. It is you're a bright and festive bunch. I really want to ask Chris Dorman to come up on stage. I think, come on now. It's the thing, right? It's the best winner today. Thank you. When I loaned you my outfit, I didn't know you were going to wear it to church, but you are the best. You are the bomb. Welcome to you again. If you are visiting with us, Chris doesn't dress like that every Sunday. It's one Sunday a month tops he does that. But we're glad that you're here with us today to worship. If you are a guest with us today, we would love to be able to connect with you. We have a guest table, a new here table out in the lobby, and we have a gift for you. We'd love to be able just to give that to you and say hello and connect with you as someone who chose to worship with us today, and we're thankful you're here. For those of you who worship here most weeks or every week, we're thankful that you're here too, and thank you for many of you for wearing your festive Christmas sweaters. I'm not going to call them ugly. I mean, it's Christmas, right? Brandon's is ugly. The rest of you guys look great. So thank you so much for coming to worship with us this morning. We have an announcement video with a few announcements, and then we will break open the word together. God bless you guys.
What's up, Snowy Parents? Merry Christmas.
First announcement, CF students, there will be no more students until January the 10th, so enjoy your Christmas break.
Second announcement is, next Sunday is our Christmas Eve service. We will have two services, one at 10 o'clock and one at 5:30. They are both exactly the same, so just choose the one that works best for you and your family.
Bye. How's it going?
Merry Christmas, everybody. Saying it, this is an exciting time of year. Exciting. And it's very easy, very quick to get caught up in the crazy. You see people who show up just straight out of spite for ugly sweater service wearing a Bronco jersey. But then to make it all better, you see Carl Lewis wearing his Cowboys hat. You're like, all right. It's ugly sweater day. That means. I want to take just a quick moment. I know between services a lot, y'all get the opportunity, the chance to hear both from Pastor Brandon and Pastor Greg. But man, it's always a blessing to hear from our worship team, and I think it's very easy as well just to kind of. Put out of mind, forget just how great it is, and the work that both Pastor Brandon and my wife Melissa both bring to Pastor Will, We're not going to ask Brandon to come up and sing yet. Not until the sweater's removed. But no, man, the effort and the work that that Will takes the time to put in, I just want to take the time to commend them, him, my wife Melissa, and the work that they do. Y'all give it up for them. And we're in a series that we've titled Divine Appointments, What God Can Do in One Simple Moment. And back in week one, I encouraged everyone to start looking for, even encouraged you to be expecting divine appointments in your life. The opportunity for God to use you in some way. And I've heard some wonderful stories, some beautiful stories from not each and every one of you, but from a number of you who have come to me and shared, Corey, I thought this was nothing more than a simple moment, but man, I've seen what God can do. I've seen this turn into a divine appointment. Beautiful moments that seemed like nothing more than a simple moment that meant nothing. How many of you know what's coming up this next week? All right, I mean, like, we don't have to be shy about it. You know, Christmas. Yes. This is the week that we get to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is also the week that, according to studies, is the number one opportunity for those that are far from God to accept an invitation to go to church. More so than Easter, somebody will accept an invitation to get closer to God this coming week than any other time in the year. Amen. You're catching some of you. And so here's the thing, as we've been praying, as I asked you in week one to be praying for divine appointments, this week, I'm praying that you are going to have just an exorbitant amount of divine appointments. There are going to be moments in life that you may not even recognize up front. They're going to be sitting around for coffee downtown. It's going to be at a dinner table somewhere. It's going to be passing somebody in the grocery store. It's going to be sitting next to a spouse. Divine appointments from God. And not necessarily just for you either. I want y'all to recognize the enormity of a divine appointment. It may very well be that God has the heart of somebody else prepared to hear the hope that you are going to boldly share. The hope that you boldly share, God may very well be preparing somebody else just to hear your simple message of hope. Amen. They'll look like normal interactions. They'll look like everyday occurrences. People you go to school with, somebody you work with. And the question is, when those simple moments arise, when God prompts you, when God is giving you the opportunity for a divine appointment, will you have the boldness to share it? Will you have the boldness to share it? Because God will prompt you. And you will either respond boldly or you'll hesitate and do nothing. But you never know how God might use one simple moment of boldness to change somebody else's life. If y'all will, let's stand for as we read God's word this morning. I'm going to be in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. This is a very familiar passage during the Christmas time. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. It'll be up on the screen behind me. It says this: that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Do not be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. If you'll bow your heads with me, Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word, for your truth, Lord God. The very rock that's relevant today, just as it was yesterday, Lord God, and I know it will be tomorrow. Lord, I pray this morning that you, by the power of your Spirit, would just ignite a fire within each and every one of us, Father, that would cause us to be bold. That would cause us, Lord God, to face even our own fears. It would cause us, Lord God, to show your joy. Father, let your name be glorified. Amen. Go ahead and be seated, guys. I've shared a little bit about shepherds before, as you do come Christmas time, right? Because there's not like a whole lot of players in the Christmas story. But in this particular time, what was common practice was if you had a big announcement, the birth of a child, if you had some sort of big announcement in your life, you would hire a herald. A herald was somebody that would, like a crier, they would go out through the streets and they would proclaim this news that you wanted proclaimed. But if you're paying the money to hire a herald, what you don't want that herald to do is just kind of waste your good news on a whole bunch of bums that aren't really gonna care. Let's put this in modern day. All right, back then there was no social media, right? So when you had big news, there was no way to real quickly send out your favorite little post. Shoot it out and have everybody know. But even then, what you don't want to do when you send a post, you don't want to send it to a whole lot of people who are just going to scroll on by, right? Like, you want people to stop and engage. Y'all looking at me like you don't even understand. No. We're catching this, right? Like, somebody's going to nod ahead, something. There we go. Look. So a herald would do just that. They would go throughout the streets, but they wouldn't go through just any streets. They would make sure to go by those of prominence, by those of wealth. You wanted to make sure that the good news got to the people that could do something about it. The people that could put fortune in your life. The people that could share in the joy of what you were sharing. This was the joy of a herald that you had to hire. And yet here we see that there's an angel heralding the arrival of God's only a son, not to a king, not to the elite, not to even anyone in power, but rather to shepherds. Which, if you know anything about shepherds, especially in this culture, it was very disgraceful to be a shepherd. They were needed, but there was no honor in being a shepherd. They were despised. Shepherds had very little to no respect in any community, any society. In fact, there was so little trust towards a shepherd that it was actually illegal for them to testify in court. A shepherd could witness a crime, and yet nobody would believe their story. It was illegal for them to testify in court. Can you imagine just the weight walking around knowing that you very well could witness a murder, and the victim's family doesn't want to hear from you because you're a shepherd. They weren't trusted. Because they weren't trusted, they didn't have a lot of money to begin with. They were shepherds, but as well, they couldn't buy and sell property. What they had was what they had, and they couldn't really move it around, because who wants to buy and sell from somebody who's a liar, a thief, and a cheat? Right? It'd be like buying a house today, but trusting the seller with the evaluation and the appraisal, and then choosing to not have any inspection done. It doesn't make sense. And in this day, they would not do it. You wouldn't buy from a shepherd. They stole it, or they're lying about it. Something's wrong with it. They weren't trusted. They were looked down on. They were despised. Parents would teach their children, if you see a shepherd, you walk on the other side of the road. But they were looked at as though they were unclean, dirty. More so than what we typically look at as dirty, not just physically, they were looked at as dirty, filthy, even to the point of not being allowed to walk into the temple. They were taught that because of the work that they did, they were not allowed to ever be right with God. They were unclean. And so because they were unclean, they could never be right with God. Can you imagine not just the self-esteem, but also the animosity that you would have towards everyone for how they treated you? And we see here in Scripture that out of every type of person on earth, God chose the unpolished. He chose the uneducated shepherd to be the first to hear the greatest news in the history of the world. The Savior has been born. And the moment the shepherds heard this news, they said, man, we got to go. We got to go. We got to go to Bethlehem right now. We got to see what is this. And with no hesitation, Scripture says they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. There was no hesitation. They hurried to see the baby Jesus, and then Scripture says, after seeing the baby, what'd they do? Scripture says they told everyone what had happened. They told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. They told everyone. Look, don't miss out for a second on the boldness that this took. This was a despised people group, overlooked, not deemed clean enough to even be able to walk into church. Don't overlook the courage that it took for these shepherds to boldly share this message, the news of the birth of a Savior. Because they had every reason to hesitate. They had every reason to hesitate. They were nobodies. People didn't like them, looked down on them, believed that they were always lying. They wouldn't even let them come into church. They had every reason to hesitate. In a society like that, who's even going to believe us when we do say what we've heard? And yet, they didn't. They hurried to tell everyone. Why is it that you and I hesitate? I mean, I know there's times myself I can very vividly remember there's times where I just felt insecure. I mean, what if they ask about this or start talking about that? What am I going to say? What am I going to do? What if they ask a question that I can't answer? More often, a lot of times, I just don't want to be pushy. You don't want to be that obnoxious, annoying Christian friend. And yet, if your life has changed, if you recognize that your sins are forgiven, the very things that you've tried to hide from society, those are forgiven. They're washed clean. They're as if they had never happened. And all the while, you did nothing to deserve it? If that's the case, then how can you keep that to yourself? If what Jesus did is on the forefront of your mind, when who he is, when what he has said about you is ringing true in your head, when you understand that you're a child of God, when you recognize that he lived, died, and rose again so that his spirit could live inside you, guiding you daily? Ooh, buddy. Directing your steps, all the while giving you the opportunity to show your life is not your own, that you exist to glorify him. Man, when you shine his light, you extend a voice of hope into a dark, dying world. You see, when you understand that, I don't know how you cannot want to share about the good news that we've been given. Jesus has changed my life. And that's the message. The shepherds hurried to tell everyone. Everyone. The shepherds hurried to tell everyone. And Scripture says, all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, blown away. Look, when you think about the players in this story, Christ's birth. Again, the wise men haven't come along, don't come along for a little more than another year. So right now you've got, they know what's going on, Mary and Joseph. Elizabeth, that's Mary's cousin, right? But then outside of that, the shepherds, uneducated, despised, overlooked, a people group that nobody wanted anything to do with. And here we are, 2,000 years plus later, celebrating this story, the birth of Christ. Why? Simply because the shepherds were bold enough to share the story. I want you to feel the weight of that, because you and I, we have no idea how God might use one simple moment, one moment of boldness. What was the message that the shepherds used? Because that's our excuse. A lot of times we immediately say, "Well, I don't know if I know enough. I don't know what I'll say." What was the shepherd's message? They told everyone a Savior is here. A Savior is here. His name is Jesus. He came to save you from your sins. A Savior is here. That was the message. The message was easy. It was simple. It was clear. A Savior is here. God has reached right down into the very mess so that you could be lifted up. God took our sin and gave us his righteousness. God didn't announce this message in a palace to royalty. But rather, he heralded this great news to shepherds, outsiders. I believe for the very reason, simply so that the world would know that no one is too far from God's reach. There's nothing you've done, there's nothing you can do that ever extends you past the reach of God's love. No sin too great for God's grace. God reached out and looked at those who were despised, those who were overlooked. Because God often chooses the unlikely to do the extraordinary. He often chooses the unlikely to do the extraordinary. He often chooses people just like you, just like me. Those who don't feel educated enough. Those who don't feel holy enough. Those who don't feel worthy enough. He calls us. And I'm telling you today, he's calling you. He's calling you. And I promise you, this week you're going to have multiple opportunities. God's going to prompt you. And you have no idea how God might use you. No idea how God might use you. One simple moment of boldness that could change somebody's eternity. Or you could hesitate. You could hesitate. What happens if you hesitate? God prompts you, you sense a divine appointment, you feel it calling you, urging you, tugging you, and you hesitate. What happens? The door of opportunity, the window closes, it shuts, and you move on, and you'll be relegated to I wonder what could have happened someday in the future. But that's it. But what if you were bold enough? What if from within each and every one of us there was an urgency? Like a hunger, a desire, a yearning to step out, to share the good news that we've been given, to extend the grace that we didn't deserve and yet was given to us. What if all of a sudden we stepped out in boldness? What's going to happen then? Well, you're going to feel uncomfortable. Sometimes it's gonna take more faith than you even think you have. Sometimes you'll be blessed and you'll see an immediate miracle, but most of the time you probably won't see anything. And yet, I'd rather rest in the knowledge that I did what I was asked rather than carrying the pain of hesitating. Because I have. I've hesitated more times than I ever care to admit. And at some point, you and I are going to have to recognize a need to care more about those that are outside than we do about the hurt or the discomfort that's on the inside. At some point, you and I are going to have to care about those that are outside more than we do about the hurt or discomfort on the inside. We need to step out in boldness. We need to step out in boldness with the very love that Christ extended to us. And tell people, look, no matter how much of an outsider you may feel like you are, Jesus' grace is real. It's relevant, and a Savior's here for you. Look, just as relevant as it is for me, as it is for you, it is for them. We boldly share the message. No more hesitation. Because you never know. You never know what God can do in one simple moment. It only takes one simple moment of boldness, and maybe the lost are found. One simple moment of boldness, and the blind healed, the deaf could hear, the lame walk, the dead even live. All in one simple moment of boldness. I wonder how it'll look like in your life. This week, one simple moment of boldness. I wonder if we'll hear the stories of God breaking the chains of addiction. I wonder if, because of one simple moment of boldness, we're going to hear stories of people freed from anxiety and depression. I wonder if right here from within this room, you and I have the boldness to step out and actually see relationships restored. Yeah, man. Yeah. To see God answer prayers, to see lives changed, countless lives changed for eternity. Because you have no idea how God might use you. You have no idea how God might use you in one simple moment. What's the message? Again, it's simple. It's a Savior is here. A Savior is here. That's the answer for every question that we have. A Savior is here. He came to save you from your sins. I'm gonna wrap up and close us here in prayer in just a little bit, but I do pray this week that you would be so bold as to step out and declare by faith the most amazing news in the history of the world. A Savior is here. A Savior is here. Look, that news has the power to break the cycles of bondage. A Savior is here. That news can cause even the most outcast, even the most downtrodden, to feel uplifted, encouraged, and built up in life. A Savior is here. That answer has the power to break the cycles of anxiety, of depression. Why? Because it's the news of abundant joy. A Savior is here. Some of you need to talk to your hurt, talk to your pain. Some physical, some emotional. But you need to look at it and say, a Savior is here. There's healing in the name of Jesus. A Savior is here. You need to tell your sins. You need to tell your shame. You need to tell your sorrow. A Savior is here. A Savior is here. And then you and I need to tell everyone. Everyone in your life, your family, your boss, the people you work with, the people you go to school with, the people you love, the people you hate. We need to tell the world a Savior is here. And then look, of all the people, of all the people in your life, I pray you don't give up on the one that everybody else says, that person will never make it. That person will never come to Christ. That person doesn't deserve to walk into church. I pray you don't give up on them because, very simply because, this room right here, this room is filled with people. It's society that even religion in the church said you don't deserve it. And yet God looked down and said, a Savior is here. So I do pray that you boldly, boldly share with everyone. The Savior is here. His grace is real. In a moment here, I'm going to ask everybody to pray a very simple prayer with me. That prayer is going to be this. It's just simply, God, make me bold. But I'm going to warn you. Up front, I'm going to warn you. You pray this, you're going to start seeing divine appointments. You're going to see divine appointments that you never saw before and start realizing that they're everywhere, all around you every day. You just need to open your eyes. If you pray, make me bold, I can promise you, you're going to start seeing people everywhere that you are, opportunities everywhere you go, for you to simply be the light in a dark world. If you would, let's go ahead and stand. I'm going to ask everybody to close your eyes for just a second. Before I pray, again, with your eyes closed, I'm going to ask each and every one of you, just in a quiet moment, to consider, are you willing to pray, God, make me bold? I pray that each and every one of you don't take this lightly. There's lives that hang in the balance. You pray this, and God's going to bring about plenty of divine appointments, opportunities for you to be bold. Across this room, every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you this morning and you want to raise your hand and say, God, I want to pray this prayer, just raise your hand. Again, don't look around. This is right now just a commitment between you and God, an opportunity for you to pray a prayer that's going to drastically change your life. But more so, a prayer that's going to drastically change so many other people's lives. Thank you, God. Ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Here comes heaven. Yes, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that with those, Lord Jesus, that are taking a stand today, Father, I pray that you would make us bold. God, I thank you in advance for the divine appointments, the opportunities that you're going to bring across our path this week. I pray, Lord God, that as a people, as a body, as the church, that we wouldn't expect it to be somebody else, Lord, but that it would be us that doesn't hesitate. But rather, Lord God, that we would be hurried when you prompt us. God, even if it messes up our schedule, even when we're not ready or not in the mood, Lord God. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help us to see the opportunities. Give us, Lord God, that sense of urgency, that desperation, Lord God, to extend the grace that was extended to us. Father, I pray across this room that we wouldn't be intimidated, Lord God, by what we know or don't know, by what we can do or can't do, Lord God, but recognize it's a simple message. A simple message delivered faithfully in boldness, Lord God. A Savior is here. No matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're going through, the answer, a Savior is here. God, across this room, for people in situations and circumstances that they're currently struggling with and dealing with, Lord God, I pray personally over their lives right now a blessing, a recognition, Lord God, that a Savior is here. Lord Jesus, that we can look to you, the author, the perfecter, the finisher of our faith, that we don't have to sit there, Lord God, and wallow in the muck, the mire, the worry, the struggle, the trouble, Lord God, but rather we can step out, even in the midst of a storm, in peace, our shoulders back, our heads held high, because we know a Savior is here. As I continue to pray real quickly, I want to take this opportunity. If you're here this morning and you've never just simply accepted that beautiful message that God himself cared so much about you that he sent a Savior to rescue you from your troubles, to rescue you from your hurts, to rescue you from everything. I'm not saying that all of a sudden magically life gets like rainbows and unicorns, but what I am saying is that all of a sudden you have hope. God gives you, he builds in your heart a new life. It's a recognition that even in these moments of desperation, even in these moments of hurt, that there's something stronger that is there for you, and it's simply a Savior is here. If you're here this morning and you've never walked in a personal relationship with him. I'm not talking some religious mumbo jumbo about how good you gotta be and all that. No, 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 no. What I'm talking about is a relationship, a God that says, I don't care where you've been sleeping. I don't care who's made your bed. I gave my life to set you free. If you wanna pray that prayer with me this morning, again, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I'd just love for you to simply raise your hand across this room. Awesome. 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 Come on. Awesome. Awesome. Heavenly Father, I thank you. For those, Lord God, this morning that raised their hand, we pray this simple prayer. Lord God, thank you for saving me, for sending your son, for sending a Savior. I lay down my struggles, my hurts, my worries. I give them to you, God, and in exchange for righteousness. I lay down the very things, God, that I've tried to hide from people. To be able to walk in the light of freedom this morning. Lord God, I thank you for lives changed for eternity this morning, Lord God, just through the simple power of a message, a Savior is here. I again, Lord God, pray your blessing upon this people. Lord God, that we as a church would join up with those, Father, that have come to know you this morning. That we would all together as a body, as a family of believers, leave this place, Lord Jesus, with boldness. With boldness, Lord God, to see your message proclaimed. Realizing, Lord God, that our opportunity at its peak, Lord, is this week. Father, give us the courage, the strength, the boldness to step out. It's in the name of your son we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, y'all lift up a bold shout to the Lord God this morning. God bless you all. Y'all have a wonderful Merry Christmas week. We look forward to having you two services next Sunday, both of them the same, candlelight in the morning at 10 or in the evening at 5:30. In the evening at 5:30, in the morning at 10. God bless you guys.